Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Good Friday is one of those services throughout the year where we tend to lean into the emotion of it all. From the reproaches at the beginning of our service, to the music that's selected for our service tonight, to the candles and the lights going out, to the leaving in silence later on. Good Friday, we're not afraid to feel the weight and the seriousness of our sin. We're not afraid to feel the weight of the punishment and suffering that Jesus chose to feel in our place to pay for that sin. These traditions that we follow for Good Friday, they're not just there to make us feel a specific way, though. They're there to teach. That's why they've been lasting traditions within the Christian church, and this is an important feature, too. As we feel tonight and are moved by the suffering and the sacrifice of our Savior, by the love that motivated him to endure all of this, it's important that we understand what makes all of this such a moving thing, that makes it so important for us individually. Tonight our sermon is based on just three verses from the book of Hebrews, and these are verses that very clearly teach us about the sacrifice of Jesus and what that sacrifice means for us. And it teaches us this by pointing back. It points back to the Old Testament, to the high priests, the sacrifices that they would make, the blood of bulls and goats. Then it shows how in every way possible, Jesus' sacrifice is better. His sacrifice is more valuable. It is effective. Tonight is Good Friday because on the cross is our perfect high priest. And he offers the perfect sacrifice, the only one that can atone for our sin. Let's read our text for this evening from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 26 through 28. This is certainly the kind of high priest we needed. One who is holy, innocent, pure, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices on a daily basis, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. In fact, he sacrificed for sins once and for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been brought to his goal forever. Dear Heavenly Father, these words are yours. And so we know that they are the truth. We ask that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It had to be Jesus. It had to be uniquely and only him. He is the one and the only one who could pay for the sins of the whole world, and our text for tonight tells us why. When God gave his law in the Old Testament, he established this role of priest and of high priest. And one unique thing about the high priest is that he is the only one who could enter the most holy place. This was a special section in the tabernacle that was separated by this thick curtain. And in the most holy place was the dwelling place of the presence of God. It was only on the Day of Atonement that the high priest could enter, only after he made a sacrifice for his own sin so that he was not consumed by the righteousness of God. Only then could he then offer a sacrifice to cover and on behalf of the sins of the people. It's interesting, though, to think about the fact that this role of priest was never meant to be permanent. It was a shadow of the things to come. This role in their actions, the sacrifices that these priests would make, were always meant to point ahead to the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice made by the perfect high priest. In every way, Jesus is who we needed him to be. That's what our text tells us. And it starts off with five reasons why that's the case. He's unique in that he is holy. He is innocent. That means he is without any evil within him. He is pure, completely undefiled by the stain of sin. He's separated from sinners. Not in terms of being far away from them, not in separating himself from them in terms of distance or holding them at an arm's length. He separated from sinners in the fact that he never joined them in their sinfulness. And because he is all this, he is exalted above the heavens. He is the only one who is enthroned as king and high priest at the right hand of God. Priests in the Old Testament were held to a higher standard. Their life was to be one of obedience, devotion to God. But every single one of them failed to do this perfectly. Not one of them was innocent. Not one of them was righteous. But Jesus, he in every way was tempted just as we are, and yet was without sin. That's huge. That's so important to remember and to know that Jesus was without sin. You ask a Christian, a believer, how did Jesus save you? The answer you will hear more often than not is, he died on the cross for me. And that is absolutely true, 100% true. But before he died, he had to live. And he had to live perfectly. In order to exchange our sin for his righteousness, he had to be righteous. In order to fulfill the law of God in our place, he had to fulfill the law of God. And he did. He didn't have to offer a sacrifice to pay for his own sin before he sacrificed himself to pay for ours, because in him was found no sin. And he didn't have to do it again and again. He didn't have to repeat this sacrifice day after day, time and time again. This sacrifice, the one that actually paid for sins, was a once and for all sacrifice. That's a key phrase in our text for tonight. It comes right at the end of verse 27, once and for all. In Greek, it's one word, epipax, and it's awesome. This means that this sacrifice was the one that God had planned from the beginning. This is the one sacrifice that every sacrifice before it had been pointing ahead to. From the moment that Adam and Eve fell into temptation, from the moment that the perfection with which God created his world was ruined and shattered, that was stained with sin, God began to point his people to this once and for all sacrifice. God detests sin. He hates it. He cannot stand sin to be in his presence. It has to be paid for. It has to be punished. He hates sin, but he loves us. And there's a tension there because of this, because from the moment that Adam and Eve fell into temptation, from the moment they fell into sin, every single one of us has been born as a slave to it. It's not just what we do, it's part of who we are. Sin is not just, we're not sinners just because we do bad things. We are sin-filled people. And these unrighteous acts, these things that we do that go against God's word and his will, they're an essential, integral part of what we do. So God came up with a solution to separate the sin that he hates from the people that he loves. And this is it. The once and for all sacrifice of Jesus. So this word, epipax, it puts Good Friday right at the center of the entirety of human history. Every single act of God's grace that happened before Good Friday pointed ahead to the death of Jesus as its foundation and its hope. Every single promise of God reminded his people, a Savior is coming. A sacrifice that will atone for your sin, that will bring you redemption and salvation, is coming. Every single act of God's grace since Good Friday has pointed back to the death of Jesus as its foundation and its power source and its promise. It's this. It is the death of Jesus that makes salvation for us a reality. This is what makes reconciliation with God, our Heavenly Father, possible. It is through this that you have been redeemed. And it had to be Jesus. It had to be uniquely and only him, the perfect high priest. Not one that was appointed by the law, but one who chose to be the sacrifice, who was willing to lay down his own life for us. It was him and him alone whose life and death was valuable enough to pay for the sins of the whole world. But in order for this to be the case, he had to be more than a man. He had to be more than a human being. And our text reminds us that he was. Our text tells us that he was the appointed Son. The Son of God who willingly set aside his power and glory and majesty that were rightfully his to take on humanity for this reason, so that he could lay down his life and know for sure that it would be enough. This is Jesus, true God and true man in one person, suffering and dying for our sins so that we can wear his righteousness. This is the perfect sacrifice of the perfect high priest. And his priesthood hasn't ended, nor will it ever. Jesus, having lived for us and died for us, has been brought to his goal forever. So there will never be another high priest. They are not needed anymore. That curtain in the temple that separated the most holy place from sinful people like us, it tore when our Savior died. He healed that separation. He reconciled us with our Maker. We don't have to fear being in his presence anymore. Instead, he welcomes us into it. What our text for tonight is telling us, why this is Good Friday, is because we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who came into the world as the Son of God, lived a sinless life, and then offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people. And then he rose to everlasting life at the right hand of God, which isn't a location. It is a position of power and authority and glory. And in that position, he loves us. And he continually encourages us and enables us through his word and his sacrament to draw near to God through him. Because of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Because of Jesus, heaven is yours. So tonight on Good Friday, feel it. Feel the weight of the sacrifice that he makes for you. Understand the weight of the sin that is in our hearts and in our lives that put him on that cross. But feel too the love of our Savior that's behind all of this, that motivated him to do this willingly, that motivated him to choose this, to lay down his life in exchange for yours, to suffer hell so that you can celebrate with him in heaven. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.